Scripture tells us in 1 John 4, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Indeed, today there is an ever-increasing number of false teachers, presuming to speak for God, but falsely interpreting His word. Meanwhile, the extent of many churchgoers' Bible study is no more than a verse or two projected up on the screen on Sunday. And because of great apathy and biblical illiteracy, there are many sitting beside you in church each week who are sadly incapable of rightly dividing the word of truth." How many of us have heard and even believe phrases like, "We're all God's children," or "Jesus loves you just the way you are," and this one, "Hate the sin but love the sinner." Many believe this idea of hating the sin but loving the sinner is actually in the Bible itself. One person I spoke with recently insisted that it was in the Bible and was going to prove it to me by locating the chapter and verse. I explained that such a thing could not be done because it is not in the Bible. And in fact, this was a phrase coined by the Hindu leader Mahatma Gandhi. And while it may sound good, the fact is, it's just not biblical. This past June, my wife and I went to minister on the streets at the Homosexual Pride Parade in Columbus, Ohio, one of the largest of such events in the country. There were 500,000 people there, all celebrating the broad spectrum of all manner of sexual perversion. A total of 22 of us showed up from all over the country on a mission to share the truth of God's word. It was an experience I'll never forget, for we truly witnessed the utter delusion of reprobate minds and the demonic wrath of the militant LGBTQ+ agenda firsthand. Now, among the crowd were countless parents with young children. One mother came walking past our little group with her two young children walking beside her, one holding each of her hands. As she came by, she told her kids loudly, "Don't even look at those hateful bigots." Nearby were two nearly naked men kissing and simulating homosexual acts on the sidewalk in broad daylight. And yet it was us Christians who were not to be looked upon by young children. Such is the world we live in, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. It didn't surprise me that only 22 of us showed up to minister and speak truth. Sadly, the vast majority of Christians will never share their faith with anyone, much less face a crowd of nearly 500,000 people who hate you. Nor did it surprise us that there were nearly 40 churches in the parade, marching to show their support of homosexuality, gay marriage, transgenderism, and pride. Because more and more professing Christian churches today are becoming absolutely apostate. Some carried signs that read, "We are sorry for the way the church has treated you." There were parade floats declaring, "God thinks you're fabulous," and "LGBT families for Jesus." And as we began to preach at the very beginning, the crowd along the parade route began singing back to us defiantly, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Truly, they do believe that God loves them just the way they are, because this is what so-called open and affirming churches tell them. And make no mistake, these open and affirming churches hate people like us just as much as the Sodomites do. Those churches that do still profess to believe that sexual deviancy is wrong also look down upon our efforts to minister on the streets because they say, "We are to hate the sin but love the sinner." To them, we are radical fundamentalists. They tell us, "Jesus loves everyone. Shame on you for going there to tell them they're wrong. We just need to show them the love of Jesus." But is this really the case? Does Jesus really love everyone? Are we all God's children? Does He accept us all just the way we are? Is His love truly unconditional? Because this is what the vast majority of churches in America are teaching today. Certainly, the pastor is extremely rare that's willing to touch the subjects of sexual deviancy or abortion or Islam with a 10-foot pole, except to preach on God's unconditional love for the whole world. And so now we have a majority of churchgoers in this country who believe, right now, today, that homosexual so-called marriage is just fine. And the number of those who believe this lie is growing, because their shepherds refuse to speak the truth of the whole counsel of God. But why won't they? Well, it's not popular, and it's controversial. These pastors hate dealing with conflict, and they hate the thought of someone in their congregation getting upset or made to feel uncomfortable. It's not that the sermons they preach are necessarily unbiblical. It's what they don't say that's the problem. It's what they won't say. Because by preaching around touchy subjects, they compromise the Word of God, leaving their flocks to fend for themselves when it comes to biblical knowledge and wisdom. What was the message of John the Baptist as he prepared the way for Jesus' earthly ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And after John was arrested, we read in Mark 1, Jesus himself came into Galilee, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Indeed, the requirement of repentance for salvation and the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed throughout God's word from Genesis to Revelation. But yet today, we're simply told, Jesus loves you just the way you are. In fact, we're told, we are all God's children. Friends, if you believe that, you have been grossly misled. God's love has always been conditional. If it were not so, then Adam and Eve would not have needed to leave the Garden of Eden after they sinned. If it were not so, God would not have been so grieved that he made man that he destroyed all but eight in the flood of Noah's day. And if it were not so, Sodom and Gomorrah would not have endured God's wrath. And if it were not so, then Jesus himself would not have had to suffer and die a torturous death on the cross to redeem those who humbly turn to him in sorrowful repentance. You see, you're either a child of God, part of God's family, or you are not. And please remember, the devil has children too. Jesus declared to the religious leaders, "You are of your father, the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do." He went on to say, "He that is of God heareth God's words. You hear them not, because you are not of God." So if these people to whom Jesus was speaking were not of God, and if Jesus himself plainly stated that they were of their father the devil, that seems pretty clear to me. We humans are definitely not all God's children. Some of us are the devil's kids. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He also warned, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." That doesn't sound like God's unconditional love for the whole world to me. Incidentally, my heart was deeply touched as I stood and watched 500,000 people in that Sodomite pride parade marching down the street in wild, lascivious abandon, flaunting their sin and pridefully shaking their fists in the face of God Almighty. You may be interested to know the name of the street that this parade took place on, Broad Street. Yes, friends, I witnessed an unbelievable example of the words of Jesus Christ himself come to life before my very eyes. A mass of humanity, a 500,000 prideful, arrogant God-haters, happily and blindly marching down the broad street which leads to destruction. The street on which this debacle took place could not have been more aptly named. So I ask again, does God love everyone, or are there some people he hates? Psalm 5, "You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man." Yes, believe it or not, Scripture makes it clear that God does hate certain people. He hates all evildoers. He destroys liars. He abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. Look also at Psalm 7. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. In Proverbs 6, we read about 7 specific things the Lord hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers. Now please note here, these are not just things, these are qualities, attributes of people. People celebrate their pride. People have lying tongues. People have hands that shed innocent blood. People have hearts that devise wicked imaginations. People have feet that run swiftly to evil. People are false witnesses, and people sow discord among brothers. Hate the sin, but love the sinner? No, Scripture tells us that God hates certain people. He hates the devil's children. And it's not the sin that in his righteous judgment he must send to hell. It is the sinner. You may be thinking, didn't Jesus tell us to love our enemies? Would he really tell us to do something that he himself doesn't do? First of all, in Matthew 5, let's read it. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." So yes, we are to love our enemies, as difficult as that is, and not avenge ourselves when we've been personally wronged, but instead leave that to God. But I do not believe that we are to love God's enemies the same way that we love those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Does God love the unrepentant abortionist who tears apart the bodies of precious premature babies who he himself knit together in their mother's wombs? Does God love the sodomite who pridefully marches and celebrates what God calls an abomination? Or those who indoctrinate young children in public schools and colleges with lies, encourage them to explore their sexuality by trying sodomy for themselves to see if it's right for them? We've already seen from Proverbs that he hates such people. Are we then to love those whom God hates? Actually, I believe we are to love them, but again, not the same way that we love those of God's family, our actual brothers and sisters in Christ. These are God's enemies, not his children. Jesus explained, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Later in John 3, Jesus added, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is pretty clear to me. When the wrath of God abides on a person, clearly God doesn't love that person. But don't forget, God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and find salvation in his Son. God's infinite love and grace is available to everyone, but God does not automatically, universally, unconditionally love everyone. As we've seen from Scripture, adoption into God's family and his love is conditional, and it requires humble repentance. We must go and sin no more. I realize these words may sound harsh, but let me ask you a question. What would be more harsh? Telling someone the truth now, even though it may make them uncomfortable, even though you may be uncomfortable speaking the whole counsel of God, or the lake of fire burning with brimstone for eternity? The time has come that we can no longer avoid these subjects because the enemies of God have brought it to the forefront, and they're organized, well-funded, and pridefully marching as an evil, wicked army against God and his people. How long will we dance around these tough issues? How long will we hide and cower, afraid to speak the truth? And is it not more loving of us to try to snatch every possible lost soul from the flames by speaking God's truth to him now? Or should we just be open and affirming of his sin, just showing him the love of Jesus? Friends, God does not love everyone as his own. He wants to, but that love and his salvation first requires repentance. How will they repent if no one ever tells them the truth? I hope you'll think about these things deeply. It's time we take our responsibility of being salt and light seriously and start fighting this spiritual battle all around us with the power, the love, and the sound minds that God gave us. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com and ask for message number 201.